Hey, everybody, it's Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, and we are so glad you're with us today. And live as always, here we are. And we were a little concerned we might have to do this one pre-recorded because we had a great big anniversary celebration today. But before I get to that, our engineer is just the cutest one on the block. There's nobody as cute as Cedric Harris. He's just a doll baby. But Cedric, what happened to you last Sunday afternoon? You were not our engineer. I came in here and you were not here. Where did you go?
Well, Heidi had a beautiful baby girl.
Yes.
Last Sunday around 7:35 p.m.
Around 7:35 p.m. And you became a daddy.
Yes.
For the first time.
Yes.
And what is her name?
Melody Autumn Harris.
Melody Autumn Harris. And who does she look like?
She looks like mommy, but she has my hands.
She has your hands. All right. Was she going to be a musician like mommy and daddy?
Probably, yes.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why the name, Melody.
Right. I think we have to get her a piano.
Yep. She's got to have a piano. This guy can play anything in there. So congratulations, Cedric.
Thank you,
Marcia. And to you and to Heidi. And we're so happy for you. And I tell you, babies change your life. Let me tell you, they really do. From that point on, your life is forever
different.
It's
very, very humbling.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, because you're entrusted with this little precious child.
Exactly.
And to lead and guide. But you are a great man, and
Thank
I have
you.
Never met Heidi, but I'm sure you two will be wonderful parents.
Thank
so we
you.
Wish you our best. We're excited for you. So we're glad you're back with us today.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. Took a few days off as daddy. I bet you've been changing some diapers.
Yes,
huh?
I have.
That's fun, too, though.
I don't mind.
In the studio today, Cedric, are two famous people that have joined us.
Exactly.
I mean, we're thrilled.
And it was a surprise to me.
It was a surprise to you. It was a surprise to me. Actually, yesterday morning, I was at the Causeway praying and getting ready for a big service today. And I felt like I should pick up the phone and call Carol Maxine up in Georgia and just say, hey, why don't you do something crazy and put your dog, Floyd Henry, in the car and come on down for the weekend? Because this is a big deal for Beacon of Hope, our 12th anniversary today. And they surprised me by going, okay, we'll talk about it. And a couple hours later, we're on our way. And I mean, like, here they are, Carol. Say hi to the listening audience.
Hello, listening audience. And this time I'm not speaking from Georgia. I'm speaking from sunny Florida.
Right. And you're right here in the studio with us for the first time.
Yes.
Maxine, our webmaster, our famous webmaster, is right here with us. And she's listening in. And if you get ready to say something, you just run over there on one of these mics here. But we are so glad you're both here. It's been very special to have you here this weekend, even though you didn't get here until late last night. Next time, come earlier. But
Call earlier.
Oh, it's my fault. Oh, yeah. It is, actually. Didn't think about it. Didn't even enter my mind until that morning. So we thank God because it was a great day, was it not, at Beacon of Hope?
It was a wonderful day and a great day to be back and visit with old friends and meet new friends and worship the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely. And music couldn't have been better.
And the food was wonderful.
Food was great. We had a great big dinner. Oh, my gosh. Great big old dinner. Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, is right here beside me. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. And that was Carol. And PJ, as we all know you now, even the people on the air know you as PJ.
I know.
Yeah. Did you have fun today?
I had a wonderful time.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah. I was looking forward to this, and we had prayed about people being there, and we had just about what we had prayed about having there, number-wise.
Right, so yeah, it was really right on.
We said 50, and at one point in the service, I counted 42.
Oh, so. You did, okay. So and some people came in late.
Some people came in late, so.
But it was good to have everybody there.
And just old people new.
Friends, family,
everybody gathering together to worship the Lord.
Right. And to celebrate
12 years
as a ministry. It was exactly 12 years. Ah, wait a minute. Do you have applesauce ready here?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay. We'll get some applesauce going here. Because it was exactly 12 years ago today to the very moment. There you go with the applesauce. All right. That we started Beacon of Hope Ministries. So it was amazing to me, Carol, that it came out exactly 12 years later, came out the right day. I mean, the 29th on today on a Sunday. The 29th could have been any other day of the week, and it turns out
That's because the Lord's hand in it.
Mm.
And he knows that this ministry is viable, that this
yes.
ministry continues, even when times look a little bleak and the money sometimes falls a little short. He always provides.
He doesn't.
And this new beautiful sanctuary is just a true blessing from God.
It is.
It came together so very quickly.
Woo.
And to see all of his family come back home, I know he was rejoicing today.
Oh,
as well.
Absolutely. Yes. And to think that it was exactly, well, tomorrow, I guess it's 5 weeks. I'd have to look on the calendar, but it was Labor Day on September 2 that we actually got everything out of storage. What a day was that, PJ? It was crazy moving everything, all of our belongings, and not just our belongings, but
the belongings from the church
in Georgia,
and
that Carol Maxine were part of.
Right. And again, if anybody from that church is listening,
yes.
thank you again for everything.
Yes, absolutely.
There was just, I'm not so sure we've even gone through all of it yet. Maxine, you were talking about some stuff that we may not have even seen yet. So.
Could be. We've still got a few things that need to be finished up. But at any rate, we have been given beautiful items that complement the sanctuary and complement the ministry. So, and that came from a church that you all were a part of in Georgia, up in Gainesville.
Gainesville, Georgia, yes. Christ First.
Yes.
And things began to, I guess the pastor wanted to go back into study and do some different studying and pursue another degree. And at that point, the church, she stepped away from the church to do her thing.
Right.
And then at that point, the church tried to stay together, but it didn't have the leadership anymore. So it basically closed. And in the
right.
process, the people that had been in charge of putting the church together initially had asked Maxine and I if we would like to bring the everything that was in storage up there from Christ First in Gainesville to Florida and give it to Beacon of Hope. Because you had been there on
right.
our anniversary
right.
at Christ First.
Right.
So they
and I think
you.
2009.
Yeah.
They guest had, speaker. Yeah.
They had met you, and they knew the way that you approached life with God in charge, and they felt such a kinship.
Yes.
So rather than have the stuff just dispersed or put in the yard sale or whatever, they wanted to put it back. And it was in their bylaws that they could not just get rid of it. It had
right.
to go to a church.
Right.
And so we just were fortunate enough to be there at the right time.
Oh, and what a gift. And what a wonderful gift all of it is. We just
yes.
thank God. We really do. It's just been a great, great thing. So today was great. We'll tell you more about that in a minute. I want to start the show with a song that Chris Tomlin did. And we have sung this at Beacon a lot lately. Whom Shall I Fear? It is just scripture. And it is Whom Shall I Fear? No matter what comes our way, there is no one, no thing, no situation to be afraid of, because
Amen.
God is our source. And he's right there with us no matter what it is that life brings. Whom shall I fear? Here we go. praise God. Great song. Love that song. No matter what you're going through out there, listening audience, the God of the angel armies, he's right there with you. It doesn't matter. It can look so bad. It can look grim. Mm-hmm. It can look like, oh my, this is. And we're going to go to Acts 16. So if you have your Bible, if you're driving down the road, that's all right. Just listen. But if you've got a way that you're able to follow along, we're in Acts 16, and it's a great, great chapter of the book of Acts. And Paul has been in ministry now for a while. How long, PJ? Let's get a historical, Carol, let's get a little historical lesson over here from our historian, don't you think?
Yeah.
He's our famous Bible historian.
This would be about 51 AD, just after the council at Jerusalem.
Okay.
So Paul probably got knocked off his horse in about 3 years after Jesus died, so that somewhere between 33, 36.
Okay, and knocked off his horse literally.
On the road
and we
to Damascus,
talked about
yeah.
that last week, I believe, or the week before, about how he was knocked
yeah,
off
so
and God got a
now
hold
he'd
of him.
Only, he hadn't been in active ministry all that long because, you know, he went and spent a lot of time in, spent 3 years just kind of in the, you know, God's seminary
right.
in Arabia. And then he just went to Tarsus and sat there until Barnabas came to get him, and he went and ministered at the church in Antioch.
Right.
So, and that was probably 10 more years.
Right.
And so he, you know, then he was there for a while, then he went out on the first missionary journey, and that would have been 47, 48 AD. So we, you know, actively as a missionary, four or five years.
Not very long.
Not very long, really.
Basically in Asia and Asia Minor, that area, right?
Yeah. But God used that time from 33 to 46 or 47 as preparation time.
Absolutely.
You know, and Paul did spend part of that in Antioch, and he was listed as one of the prophets and teachers. So he had a ministry there, but he wasn't the apostle yet.
Right.
You know, and God took all that time to prepare him for that work. And
that's an excellent point right yeah. there. Carol, don't you think there's so many times that we just want to rush in? I've known so many people called, quote unquote, into the ministry, and they think that immediately means that they're going to be out on the road as some big evangelist, or they're going to be, you know, on the mission field immediately. And even like Paul here, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, it didn't happen overnight for Paul either. You know, it comes back to that committed, faithful approach to ministry. Comment on that.
It's very important that we begin to understand, as you say, if someone feels that they need to follow and go into missionary field or whatever, we all have to be placed in that educational experience that
right.
that we receive through Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he puts us in a holding place, and he knows just the right place to put us when he wants us to go into action and do something for him. We're sometimes a little headstrong, and we want to be the
Seriously?
TV evangelist, just a little bit. And we want to be flashy and
right.
full of exuberance and so forth. And yet you may be called to work in the missions of the street people. You know, you
exactly.
never know. When you make the offer and you say to him, I accept you and I will take your journey where you would have me go, you need to be aware of the fact that some days you're going to be walking in the mud, and some day you're going to be walking across the stage. You just never know. But
no,
your heart is opened.
And that's it right there. It's all about our hearts. And Paul was so, in my opinion, and you two can correct me if you want, but it seemed to me that Paul, after being so successful in the worldly sense of the way,
yep.
you know, so successful as a persecutor of the church, I mean, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was born a Jew. He had all the book learning. You know, he had all of that thing under his belt.
Child of privilege.
Yeah. But when God knocked him off of his horse, literally in Acts chapter 9, from that moment on, and he's laying there in the dust and looking up, who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting me. You know, from that moment on, his life was totally and completely changed. I mean, never to return to that old way of life again.
Well, everything he had known up to that point was shown to be false.
Right.
All of his book learning.
Right.
All of his legalism, all of his trusting in his own efforts to become righteous, all of that was stripped away from him.
Right.
And, you know, he says in Philippians, all these things are rubbish.
Right.
You know, I count all these things as rubbish for the surpassing joy of knowing Jesus.
Amen.
And he says, you know, just all that doesn't count. And, you know, it's funny that I agree with you. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I knew like 2 days after I got saved, which in a month will be 40 years.
Oh, my gosh. Now, look how old he is.
I'm telling you.
He is old to be able to tell that, you know, 40 years. Yeah. So
I know. But I know right after that, I mean, actually, I know I had a call in my life before I made my last final commitment 40 years ago to Jesus, because, you know, I went to church camp. So every year I walked that sawdust trail, and every year I got saved, you know.
Yeah, we've been there. We know.
Yeah, you've all been there, you know. But, I mean, I always knew there was a call, but, and it wasn't even so much like I always wanted to go to seminary, but I never could. I'm, you know, I became a social worker, for heaven's sakes.
Right.
But you're doing God's work in
doing that. Exactly. And
yes, he is.
And I did a lot of studying on my own. I mean, God prepared me, because even though there was a call, I didn't pastor a church. I've been in the Lord about 15 years. Then I pastored a church, and of course, you know how that goes. I swore I'd never do that again.
Yeah.
You know. That's probably why I was resisting coming to Florida.
Right, because you knew God had something.
I knew God had something for me. I don't want to do that.
You know, but this just goes along with how God's got a plan for our lives. This show has been based all along on Jeremiah 29:11-14. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, mm-hmm. plans to bless you, prosper you, to give you a future and hope." And we are the ones so often that want to do our plan. And Paul was setting about to do his plan. And even as we start Acts 16, Paul was like, okay, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there on my missionary journey. Here's where I'm going to go next. And I don't know about y'all, but I've certainly been there. I didn't have any intention years ago starting a church 12 years ago today. That just really just snuck up on me over a period of about a year and a half. After 9 years of not being in ministry.
As you told your story from the pulpit this morning.
Yeah.
You know, he gave you time to season out, a time to cure out
a
little
really.
Bit.
Really. That is
a
what
time
happened,
to
Carol.
Experience life.
9 years of not being in the ministry.
You know, 9 years seems terrible in terms of what we humans think. 9, 10, 20 years is. But 9 years to Jesus is just like elementary school.
Exactly.
You know, it's nothing.
Right.
Because he knows exactly what you need to do.
Right.
To attain the position he wants you to attain.
Right.
And do for him. And it doesn't happen overnight.
It
you may
does
get
not.
Saved overnight, but your mission field will probably not show up overnight.
And don't you think that's so true with the life of Paul? Because what you're saying is he went away for 3 years, and he really, there was a period of about 14 years there where he really wasn't in active ministry
much. He made two trips.
Yeah.
He made two trips to Jerusalem, one right after he got saved.
Right.
And then one after he'd been in Antioch for a while, before he went on that first missionary journey, he took, you know, they had a prophet was there and said, there's going to be a famine. So they took up a collection. It's important because these were Gentile believers that took up a collection for the Jewish believers in Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul took it there. So, and, you know, that's when he got the, you know, the right hand of fellowship from Peter, John and James, the brother of the Lord.
Which they all started acknowledging that he was in the ministry.
And at that point, they acknowledged his ministry, and he hadn't even done anything yet.
Right.
Or I think he maybe had made the first missionary journey, possibly. But still, they recognized him. They recognized what he had done. And then, you know, they had the council at Jerusalem, and Paul had to go there because it meant the argument was about the very center of the gospel that he preached.
Right. And so he went, and then that all turned out great.
Good.
So now he's ready to go on another missionary journey. Now, as we were just sitting here talking about this, I think the show's going to go a different direction than I thought. I mean, I really do. Here we go.
How many of you are stunned?
Yeah, they're all stunned. They're all shocked. Because I just wrote down called, then separated. Because what happens so often is people feel the call of God on their lives. The first time I felt the call of God on my life, and I know you guys are probably going to be shocked about this, but you've read my books, maybe not. 4 years old. You were three. And feeling like God had something for me to do for him. That's the only way I could interpret it. I certainly didn't see through the future. you know, and think, okay, I'm going to be sitting in front of a radio mic someday or, you know, preaching in a church. No, it wasn't anything like that. I just knew that he was speaking to my heart as a child, and that when I was in church, I just wanted to hear those songs. I wanted to hear the gospel. You're like that.
Oh, gosh, yes. When I was 3 years old, I was attending a Methodist church in the Polk County, Florida, where I was reared. And I had gone to church with people who were, I called them my grandparents, and they were very devoted attendees.
Because your parents were not going.
Oh, good heavens, no. No. You must be kidding.
Yeah.
So you don't have to give up a Sunday. You got to be kidding.
Right. There's
so, but I lived with these people just down the street from my house for a very long period of time.
Right.
And we went to church, and every morning before service began, the choir director would just kind of step informally out in front of the church and say, okay, what hymn would you like? And he would point to different people, and they would say the hymn. I was 3 years old. I was standing up between Estelle Hamrick and Raymond Hamrick, and they were older people, and I was standing between the two of them, and I very well remember shouting out, "Hoey, hoey, hoey!" And the pastor of music knew.
I think that was supposed to be "Holy, holy, holy."
Yeah,
don't
he knew
you?
What I was saying.
Either that or hurry.
I guess I said that pretty much every Sunday till he had that real rhythm down good.
Yeah.
But the music
you
of
like
the
that
church.
Song. Oh, oh.
I love the music of the church. It always warms me in times that are stressful.
Right.
Or times, you know, when you're facing what on earth could be a catastrophe, or, you know, if your coffee pot broke and you haven't had that first cup of coffee.
Right.
And you're starting to panic and go, I don't know if I can get through my day without coffee. I just start in my heart singing Christian, you know, songs of Christian songs.
Right.
And going, make my coffee pot work today. You know, whatever it takes.
Right.
But the music of the church, especially today, it was very heartwarming music.
With
Mel and David and James there, and of course our own Nathan.
And David.
And David Kennedy did a wonderful job. So, you know, I think the music of the church, I always look at that as prayers.
Yes.
And you start reading the words to the song,
right,
and it becomes a prayer.
Right.
And sometimes when I'm very troubled in my heart for somebody or burdened for somebody, I just in my own heart will start singing songs.
Oh, and that goes along with Acts 16 here when we're going to get to it. But I think the point that we're trying to get at here is that sometimes we are called at a young age. Sometimes we're called when we are in the middle of a huge rebellion in our lives. You know, we're not wanting to follow the Lord, you know. We want to get you involved in this show today. If you want to be, you certainly can, because PJ has the internet right up here in front of us. And you can contact us by going to pastor@bohmglobal.com. Send a comment, send a question if you'd like. Or you can even say, hey, congratulations on your 12th year anniversary. That'd be cool, too.
And a nice one. There's a check in the mail for Beacon of Hope would be really appreciated.
Yeah, that would be nice, too, a check in the mail. Right. There you go. So pastor@bohmglobal.com. So, you know, here's Paul having been knocked off his horse. I mean, literally. Laying in the dirt, looking up, and all he can see is light. And I love that because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So I love the fact that that's all he saw was light, a blinding light. And it certainly got his attention. And it did blind him to not be able to see everything around him for a period of 3 days and three nights, which, of course, is also a metaphor for, you know, what was that guy's name in the belly of the whale?
Jonah.
I know. And then Jesus in the belly of the earth.
Welly of the Baal.
I said that accidentally in a sermon. Welly of the Baal. And but here we have that 3 days and nights that Saul is, his name was Saul at that point, knocked off his horse. God called him. God said, I want to use you. And then it's the choice of the individual. God does not make us, Carol, does he? He does not invade our free will.
No, he does not force us. He doesn't.
No.
Try to extort us. I think he just
We try to extort him sometimes.
Oh,
if you do
heavens,
this, I'll
oh,
do that.
Yes, certainly. You know, if hey, I'll bargain with you. You know, I want this or I want that. And Jesus is sitting there. In my imagination, he's sitting there going, when you're through with your babble, let's talk serious.
Yes.
And he's the one that leads that conversation.
Right.
But, you know, we do make grave mistakes in thinking that we actually can do something in our own lives without him. Mm-hmm. And I know there are people sitting out there and who know other folk that say, well, I got my job and moved right on up very quickly because my boss was my brother-in-law's friend or whatever.
Right.
You didn't get that job without Jesus knowing that you needed it.
Right.
And that you could do the work and right. he would help you to find it.
Right.
Well, everything we do, everything we have, everything we become, every word we should be speaking is in praise to him.
Should be. It should be.
It should be.
Not always, but.
No, but it should be.
Well, PJ, let's get back to Paul here, Saul, a minute, because we've talked recently about that day of that conversion where Ananias was tapped on the shoulder by God to go and pray. And how Ananias, I love this, because Ananias is going, really, me? That guy is a persecutor of Christians. I don't want anything to do with him. And I think that is just great that even back at those times, people were like us going, me, no, no, not me. Don't call on me, you know?
Well, we're questioning God's wisdom.
Oh, yes.
Don't, or like God didn't know what Saul had been doing.
Well, of course, yeah.
Don't you know that this is the one, Ananias said, who been persecuting the church?
Right.
Like God didn't know that, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's great, you know, isn't it?
Well, yeah, sometimes we try and box with God, and our arms are just a little too short to be doing that.
And bargain. Yeah.
And, well, or try and wheedle out of whatever God right. wants us to do by, like Ananias did. Don't you understand? This is the person that's been persecuting us, and God simply said, look, I've got a call on his life.
And what's the rest of that? What he said?
I'm going to show him how much he has to suffer for
right
my name.
Right there. Bingo. That's what he said. I'm going to show him how much he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake. Oh, my.
And some,
ooh, glory. That'll preach.
Sometimes we don't, you know, God may call us to minister to someone, A, that we don't want to minister to. But like in Paul's case, sometimes God will tell us, you know, this person, you know, if Ananias hadn't gone, Paul would not have been sent.
That's right.
And if Paul hadn't been sent, none of us would be saved.
Amen.
I mean, chances of that are slim.
Yes.
Because, A, like you mentioned, he wrote so much of the New Testament.
Right.
He evangelized so much of the known world.
Right.
Back then. You know, what would have happened had Ananias said no?
Right.
And the only greater catastrophe I can think of is if Mary had said no.
Right.
You know.
But again, we're talking willing vessels. If you out there, because this show's going a different direction than what we thought, there might be somebody listening today who knows that God has been speaking to your heart through the years in different times. I remember exactly at age 4, I remember at 12, I remember at 16, and on and on and on, how God was trying his best to get a hold of my heart and get me to get to a point where I would say, I give up. I'm going to do it your way. But the problem is that most of us want to do it our way. We've got a plan for our lives. We know the way we want it to work out. And I was certainly one of those people. I'm guilty of that. But here's Paul. And as we start Acts 16, Paul has been on a missionary journey. And he wanted to go. And I love this about verse 6 of Acts 16. It says, then they went to, how do you pronounce that? I asked your pronunciation on that this morning, but you were not in the building.
Oh, sorry.
Phrygia. Then on through the region of Galatia, that one I can do. Their plan was to turn west into Asia province, their plan, okay? But the Holy Spirit blocked that route. Ooh, I find that sentence very interesting, how God blocked that route. Do you know anything historically on any of that?
Well, he had other plans.
He had other plans.
I mean, you know, you'd think, well, God, don't you want me to go there and preach the gospel?
Right.
But God knew where the harvest was ready to be reached.
We're going to get to that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That no, that's so.
I tend to jump right in there.
No, I want you to do that. But the Holy Spirit blocked that route, so they went to Mysia, and they tried to go north to
Bithynia.
Uh-huh. But the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them go there either. Now,
have you ever had a moment when you were going to a certain place,
yes,
you were going to take a certain route, and you don't know why you're being changed, and all of a sudden you look up and you're realizing, I'm going a different route. I don't really understand why. And then when you get to the journey's end, you look back or you hear or you read of some horrible catastrophe that you would have probably been right in the middle of.
Right. Mm-hmm. You avoided a big wreck or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever it could have possibly been.
Oh, I think that's happened to a lot of us, yeah.
Oh, that's happened to me so many times. And I finally learned, that when I feel that, when I have that in my heart and I hear it in my mind, that now it's Jesus speaking to me. And the people that travel with me will know there is absolutely no way I'm going to turn left if he's telling me to turn right.
Right.
Because I did it once, and it was a terrible situation.
Okay, are you saying that God actually speaks to you, Carol?
Yes, he does.
Okay, and of course, PJ and I both wholeheartedly agree with that, and so does Maxine. God does speak to us, and he uses various methods. We brought this out this morning. Sometimes his methods are very strange. Yes, Maxine, I see that. I know what you're doing there. Maxine will get in the middle of the night. She'll get a picture. The Holy Spirit gives you a picture of something. Sometimes it looks like a billboard, signboard. And, it'll say something specific. And sometimes she knows it's for somebody. I've received some of those signboard messages through the years through Maxine. And one of them reminds me of a dream you had. So this will just throw it in as an example. You've heard me say this before, maybe. But it happened back in the church when we were pastoring on Bush. And I was going through a period of time where, and I don't even remember how old I was at that time, but I was in my 50s at some point, and I was thinking of all of the work that still needs to be done. And I was so discouraged about going through this birthday that was coming up, whatever it was. And just like, oh, wow, I'm just getting older, and I got so much to get done.
And not enough time.
And I didn't tell you that I was going through this. You did not know this.
No.
And at some point during this period of time, a few days, you and I talked, and you said, I saw something really weird. I don't know if it means something to you. And what it was tick-tock, it's only a clock. Time is mine, saith the Lord. I've never forgotten that. Of course, I wrote that right down. Tick-tock, it's only a clock. Time is mine, saith the Lord. And that's a message. That's the kind of thing that the Holy Spirit can do in such a unique way to get our attention. So we know this did not come from you, because you didn't know I was struggling with my age at that particular moment in time. Ooh, and look what God does. So here we are with Paul. And so Paul is getting ready to go, and he's trying to go to these places. And it says right here in Acts 16, he's not able to. I mean, he's just stopped. Okay? So he puts his head down for a nap for nighttime, and he has a dream. And in his dream, and now I am at whatever verse that is. I can't see it because something's written on top of it.
Nine.
Paul has a dream, and here's a dream. A Macedonian stood on the far shore and called across the sea, come over to Macedonia and help us. The dream gave Paul his map. We went to work at once, getting things ready to cross over to Macedonia. All the pieces had come together. I never got to mention that this morning, but boy, you know when it's God. Just like with this new building, when all those pieces come together, when you are up against one roadblock or another, sometimes it can be the devil fighting you, but I'll tell you, it's been my experience through the years. When all the pieces come together like this, like a glove, better be paying attention. Probably God Almighty. Comment, and then we'll go to Carol.
Well, okay. Here in verse 6, it says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. It's the first time Luke enters the picture.
Right.
Some people think that vision he had was Luke before he actually met Luke.
Oh, okay.
And then Luke kind of strolled into camp.
Aha.
It's very possible that could have been
because Luke was a Gentile from the Roman.
Luke was a Greek.
Greek, and he was a physician.
Right.
Yeah.
So it could be
him. I love the little insights he knows, all his years of studying this kind of trivia. But I love it.
But it is cool that at this point, when Paul's getting ready to cross over into Europe, that's the first time Luke enters the picture, because he says we.
Yeah.
This is the first of those we sections that include Luke as an eyewitness. So it's really important because, you know, this wasn't just some secondhand story that we're going into. This is Luke's eyewitness account of what happened.
That's cool. That's cool. And it's interesting that Paul and those traveling with him respond immediately and recognize that this is God. Carol, there are so many times that we know in our spirit it's God, but there's something in us that doesn't want to believe that God could be that intimately acquainted with us and directing us that much. We just, some of us resist that. It's like that rebellion that goes, I want to do it my way when I want to do it, you know?
Well, the walk with God is, it's an interesting walk because you have to turn over the major part of your life to him.
Yeah.
And when you finally begin to realize that he does indeed control your life,
yes.
If you have said to him, I will follow what you've directed me to do. I will be your servant.
Right.
I will go where you send me. I will do what you ask me to do. Now, sometimes in our psyche, we decide, I think I'd like to go. God, could I tell you where I want to go? You see, I really want to go to Savannah, Georgia, and I'll minister there in Savannah.
Right.
If you'll keep me out of downtown Atlanta where all of the homeless people are. See, I don't want to go there. You know, it's messy and nasty. And we try to do that. We try to self-impose our will on his destination for us. He knows where we're going. When he puts his finger on you, he knows exactly where you're going and when you're going to get there and how you're going to get there. And along with you, like your 9 years of, as you say, sitting on the beach, you had to learn a lot more. You had to learn a lot more about surrender.
I did.
You had to learn a lot more about Marsha. It's going to be okay in God's hands. You know, we sometimes wonder if I step out, what's going to happen? Am I going to lose this? Am I ever going to attain that?
Right.
What will my family think if I'm the only one out there in the spiritual world trying to save souls? And we get an awful lot of garbage that way. We get an awful lot of put down and cut down.
Right.
But we have to remember, like you said today, we're doing his work.
Right.
And it does not matter. We cannot listen to the naysayers.
We cannot.
Because they don't have a thing to do with our eternity.
And they're always going to try to tell us the negative, I wouldn't go be doing that. Yeah. I mean, people really tried to tell me not to begin Beacon of Hope. 12 years ago. Why are you doing that? You don't need that pressure in your life. You don't need that. I was a successful realtor in our office. There was no point. There was no financial reason to do it. Believe me, none of that. It was just simply a call of God. PJ, you ran from God for a long time. We match today. Those of you can watch from video. PJ and I have our Christmas shirts. We call them our Christmas shirts. They're green and red. But you and I went to the same university, which is very odd that we, in all this big scope of life, both went to Ball State University, didn't know each other because, unfortunately, I was a few years older than he was, but probably wouldn't have anyway because I was in pre-med and you were in social work. Wouldn't have ever met you in that big campus. But you ran from God. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
But look at 16, Acts 16:10 at the very end where it says, God has called us.
Right.
To preach the gospel to them.
Yes.
You didn't end up on the same campus by happenstance.
Right.
You have not entered each other's lives here in Florida by happenstance.
No.
Oh, absolutely.
PJ thought about coming to Florida like, and you were like, well, maybe I just need to do something different. Lord, I don't really need to get out on the streets and call people into church. But you see, this very sentence puts the two of you together, puts you and I together, Maxine and you and I together.
Right.
God has called us to preach the gospel to them.
And when we find those people, that like Luke finding Paul, us finding each other. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that first Sunday, which was 5 years ago last Sunday.
Was it really?
Yeah, it's been 5 years.
And we were
years.
Meeting in the Howard Johnson's right after the truck had run through our building in Dunedin.
Which I just was sitting here thinking, that was one of those low points in walking around the hotels.
Yes, it was.
And I walked in and I remember, because I had looked. I thought, I need to get back into church. And, you know, so the times of, you know, running were done. And I finally decided, yeah, I guess Florida's where God wants me, because they sure don't want me to start another church in Chicago, because that just didn't work.
Right.
So I remember walking in and instantly I felt like I was home. I knew I was home. I knew that was where I needed to be. Now, did I want to become associate pastor? No.
And
And that took
still
a while.
Was for her, you know, because
that was a couple more years before
I
we did that.
I told God, never again. I'm never going to, never yeah. am I going to pastor.
But see, you had skipped, along with Pastor Marcia, you had skipped Acts 16 in this very last line when you look down at verse 10. And it says, God has called us to preach the gospel to them.
Right.
Right.
Well, the us in ministry at Beacon of Hope are the two of you sitting here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's Maxine and what she does for the church.
Right. It's you and what you do.
It's me and what I try to do, you know. And every other person that walks up to God and says, okay, I'm hungry, I'm starving, I'm cold, I don't know what I'm doing, and hungry not just for food, but for the spiritual food.
Amen.
And we confess that he is Lord over our lives. When we decide to do that,
right?
I can imagine that every angel in heaven is jumping around him going, I told you they would do it. I told you they would do it.
Right.
And thank you for giving them the time to do it.
Woo.
And, you know, and in that way, that's what your 9 years were.
Yeah.
And that's what I walked through probably, I walked through hell for 23 years. Because of a circumstance or two, and I was not even able to pick up my Bible in comfort and peace. And so I became a very internal Christian person
right.
until I found places that I could worship
right,
and did worship. And it's been a blessing to me to be able to exercise the lessons that he has taught me.
Ooh. Oh, amen. Let's go on with this discussion in a minute, but we've got to do this song by C.C. Winans. Alabaster Box, and it's all about worshiping and really just pouring yourself out. And oh, well, I'm just going to let you hear it. Alabaster Box.
And I spent my
with my tears and dry them with my hair. My hair, you are there. The night Jesus found me, you did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me.
Because it costs everything.
It costs everything you have, everything you think you want to have. As Pastor Jim said earlier, those things don't matter. You know, and as I sit here as the oldest person in this room right this moment.
I'm so glad somebody finally is older than PJ over here.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
I probably knew him when he was in swaddling clothes or something, you know. But when we do reach an age, I think, in maturity with Christ.
Right.
When you realize that the big house, the fancy cars, the swimming pools with ocean water and all of that, and fancy titles and fal de rose and all of those things, they don't mean anything.
No, they don't.
They fall away. I'm telling all of you now, the older you get, the more those things fall away.
I agree with you.
You're getting closer in at a period of time in your heart and your mind, you're thinking, it won't be long before I meet Jesus face to face.
Right.
I don't need all this stuff. I don't need all these trappings. All I need is an open heart and to be able to express to him what I do feel. And this is one of my personal mantras, and it comes from Acts 20. However, I count my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task Jesus Christ has given me.
Right.
And the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace.
Paul's words, yes.
Those are the things that matter. How you change and are open to allowing someone else to experience the relationship with Jesus Christ. How you take them and mold them through Jesus to what he wants. You open up that door and you say, welcome, my brother. Welcome, my sister.
Right.
Welcome, traveler. You're home now.
Amen.
As Jim said, he walked in at Beacon of Hope and he knew he was home.
Right.
Didn't know where he was, but he knew he was home.
No.
Didn't know the home was going to keep moving.
That's right.
Around.
It was a vagabond home.
It's
but
a gypsy home.
Yeah. But, you know, gypsies set up tents a lot, you know.
Well, we did figure out, Linda Gorav and I this morning, that this is our 10th place in 12 years. That's interesting. Some of those have been hotels that we had to meet in due to the truck running through the building, et cetera. But, Carol, that's such a profound point because it gets to the point in life where we realize, what is life all about anyway? You know, is it about all of that fancy stuff? Is it about, you know, my wonderful 2004 Mustang convertible that I just loved, you know, but I don't have it anymore, you know, due to financial issues?
Well, it's not like that. You see, those financial issues kept you from bringing that car into a place of a proposed success.
Right.
And if you'd what would you have chosen? If you had a choice, what would you have chosen? The word of Jesus Christ
or
the
word
red?
Of God? No.
I mean, I drove that Mustang, so I know what she would do.
Right.
You know, but.
But it's all about serving the Lord.
Yes,
it's not about these things that we have. And it's not about our life's position.
No.
What financial, success we might have or security. Talk, PJ.
Well, and that's why Paul said, you know, I've learned to be content with everything.
That's right.
I've had abundance. I've had want. I've learned to just be content because I'm in Jesus and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Right.
And, you know, Paul, even at the end of his life, he wrote to Timothy and said, you know, Jesus Christ came to save sinners of whom I am the foremost.
Right.
You know,
he recognized.
Yeah, he didn't hide it or anything. And I really like what you said, Carol. You know, the titles and things don't mean anything. I like PJ because I mean, I know what it stands for, but it's better than Pastor Jim.
Really?
I do like PJ. I didn't, it took me a while to get used to, but I think for that reason, because, you know, I'm one who, I know my flesh, and I know I could easily get hung up on titles.
Okay.
Which is why I avoid, like, the plague, anything like Reverend.
Yeah.
I'd love to be called Bishop, but, you know, but again, I know that's, you know, that's kind of
but
a weakness
in me. But the titles
really
mean nothing. I mean, all of this, it's about our surrender, like Mary with that alabaster box
right.
and
because
anointing Jesus.
If you surrender,
right,
then it's not going to matter what title you have. You're going to fulfill the office of bishop, deacon, apostle, whatever, whether anybody ever calls you that or not.
Right.
Whatever God wants you to be, if you surrender to him, you'll be that, whether anybody ever calls you that or not.
Right. It's all about surrender.
Right.
But PJ, the interesting thing about you being called PJ versus Pastor Jim is the fact that it allows you to move in circles where that might the pastor might make somebody feel so extremely guilty or not worthy.
Right.
And as PJ, you're just PJ.
I'm
to
just
them,
PJ.
You're PJ. You're PJ, the guy that they know, the guy that they hang with, the guy that they have dinner with, the guy they drink coffee with. And then all of a sudden, they begin to realize something's different about you. It's not, you know, and you're saying words that they're listening to, and their lives are changing. Now, they don't know why. Their thoughts are changing. And finally, somebody will kind of meander over to the side and lean down and say, what does PJ mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you will say proudly and
Pastor,
humbly,
Pastor Jim.
And that is a revelation to them. You have been one of the guys. You
right.
have not been holier than thou. You have not
right.
been condemning. You have been one of the guys
mm-hmm.
or
right.
one of the ladies, you know, whoever it might be. And you're just the real person. And you begin to see, you know, I mean, women are not going to be offended by you or taken, wow, you know, it's just what's the deal going on here with this
right.
guy, you know. They feel comfort. And as
right.
you begin to minister to them in just conversation and ways, they will begin to see what Christ really looks like
mm-hmm.
and what his servants are.
That's the gospel, getting out there and doing that. And we're going to talk about that as we go on into Acts 16 here, because Paul does obey God and does say, whoa, that dream was from God. And he starts acting on it. I think he got his laundry done, you know,
yes.
down at the market laundromat or whatever they had. And I think he got everything ready and they started packing up. And they got ready to go and set sail to go over to Macedonia.
And as we'll see, it was no bed of roses over
no,
there in Macedonia.
No, it was no bed.
You know, even starting that church in Philadelphia was not easy.
Right.
Because where did Paul always go? He always went to the synagogue.
Right.
There wasn't one in Philadelphia,
right.
in Philippi.
Right.
There just wasn't one.
Right.
There weren't
so,
enough. You have to have 10 Jewish males, and there weren't even 10 Jewish males.
So we're going to talk about in just a minute at the top of the hour where they went when they got over to Macedonia, because I find this very interesting. Didn't really talk about it this morning. Our service today was mighty. It was wonderful. It was our 12th anniversary of Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're so excited what God has done all these years. This is our 7th year on the radio, and we thank Tan Talk 1340. It's a joy to be on the air. And there's our old engineer just walked in the door, Bill. It's our 12th anniversary for Beacon. Can you believe it? And Bill, there's Carol and Maxine. And I know you feel like you know them. Yeah, they're here in person. The real Carol and the real Maxine, all the way from Georgia. So anyway, Maxine, we talk about the website, and you have done such a wonderful job, and the compliments were flying around the church today on our new website. And we welcome all you listeners to go to www.beaconofhopeministries. That ends in R-I-E-S. A lot of people misspell it. Beaconofhopeministries.com. And it's totally revamped, isn't it? It's just great. Do you want to say anything about it? Just, yeah, there you go.
Okay, just give me input. What do you want out there? What do we not have on there? We want
okay.
to get it on there.
Good. Oh, absolutely. We got a bunch of new photos coming, especially from today, from the new church building. We're now in a brand new location, and it was exactly September 2nd on Labor Day that we moved into this new location. The day before, on September 1st, we had our first service there with just camp chairs. Everybody bring a chair and come to church. In an empty building, but now it's all set up and beautiful, don't you think? Just absolutely gorgeous.
It's
Were you surprised, Carol?
Oh, I was just totally shocked. A surprise wasn't really the word. And then when I walked in and saw all the things that had been given to Beacon of Hope through Christ First.
Yes.
And I walked up, and you reminded me that as you first walked in, the podium there was
right. Pulpit, actually, yes.
Yeah, the pulpit was from the Christ First.
And you preached in that pulpit.
I hung onto that pulpit four different times while I was full in cancer treatment, and hung onto that, had to have one of the young student clergy come over and remove my fingers. They were so glued to that. I couldn't do it myself. But I refused to let it kill
word.
Me. I refused.
Yes.
And I know I was being attacked
right.
because I was stepping out. And I know I was being attacked. And I thought, you know, I think if God had not touched me the way he had all my life, I might have turned and said, okay, I can't do this. You know, I've got cancer, yada, yada. But I said, you will not beat me.
Oh,
I
amen.
Will stand up
Woo,
and I will
girl.
Preach the word
yeah.
of God as long as I have breath in my body.
Oh,
and I'm
my.
Hoping that when that breath is gone, that the life I have lived in Christ is exemplary enough that somebody,
amen.
That somebody's life would be changed for.
Absolutely. And all of these shows that you've yeah. been on too. Station ID, don't go anywhere. Invite a friend to listen in.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
Praise God. Welcome back to our second hour of Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life on this radio station every single Sunday, live from 3 to 5. And it's always a joy to be here. But today it's even better, PJ, because Carol and Maxine are here live with us from Georgia, where they live and work and all of that, but still an active part of the ministry. Mm-hmm. And Maxine, I mean, one more time, people need to go to our website and get acquainted with and navigate around. People, I heard people telling you today that it's so easy to get around the website and that they love it and they love the fresh new look. And all about the radio show and everything else that we do. It's right there. You've got it. Beautiful. So we appreciate all your years. I mean, you've been webmasters since 05 or 04, maybe. 04, I think. So that's a long time. A long time. So we appreciate all the hard labor. And it's nice to have you right here in the studio so you can see this work. Carol's been on the radio with us since we started, since 07. And one of the radio team, active member of one of the radio team, of our radio team here at Beacon of Hope. Our email address for prayer request is prayers at bohmglobal.com. PJ, you and Carol are the ones. You're the prayer team. Well, there's a whole bunch of people on the prayer team, yeah. but Carol and PJ are the ones who get the requests. You want to talk about that real quick?
Sure. The requests come in, and either Carol or I pick them up and write a prayer so we can all be in agreement. We all
yes.
we feel that that's really important that we all
yes.
pray in agreement, because we get some, I don't want to grade the importance of the prayer request, but I mean, we get some serious prayer requests.
Very serious.
You know, cancers and really serious illnesses and things like that. And those especially are the things we need to pray in. We need to be in unity when we pray that God is going to heal whatever, you know, whoever the person is. So Carol and I will send out, we'll write up a prayer and send that out to the prayer team, which now stretches from, I don't know, Texas to Indiana to Australia.
All over.
You know,
it's
everywhere.
All over.
Yeah, everywhere. So, and we send out those prayers and, you know, people pray. And we get results. We get prayer, you know, we get praise reports coming back in. I have a special little folder where I save them. And because it's important that, you know, people say, well, does it really work? Yeah. Here's the proof.
Amen.
You know, I can pull up several emails. And
oh,
you know.
Yeah. Prayer works.
When people from other states that I know, or some of them I don't necessarily know, I know them through other people, when they call my home and say, this is going on, can you get your church to pray? And the answer to that is, oh, yes,
oh,
we're
yeah.
happy to
mm-hmm.
do that for you. Or when you see somebody in the grocery store and they'll stop you, or wherever you might be, actually, and they stop you and say, this is happening in my life, and I don't know them really at all. And they stop me and say, would you pray for me? Well, I say, here in the aisle, and they say, yes. And do you have a church? I said, I have a prayer team church that's absolutely fantastic.
Right.
And they want that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
we have become known as a church that has results from prayers, simply because we believe in miracles.
Amen.
We believe that Jesus Christ is the healer. We know that nothing is too big for him.
Yes.
And where two or more are gathered.
Right.
And there he is in the midst of us. So we have so many successes. I don't know that we've ever actually had what somebody might call a failure.
No.
I just think everything, the information we get back, the situation has changed, the injury, the illness, or whatever's gone away, or the loss of job, or just somebody who's terribly despondent.
Yeah.
You know, when you're terribly despondent and there's no one to talk to, and then you write a church prayer line or call a church prayer line, and that church says, we will pray for you.
Amen.
Diligently.
Right.
All of a sudden, that person's spirit is renewed.
Exactly.
You would do that for me?
Right.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
We're delighted to do it. And a quick praise for the little baby Lumpkin that we've been praying for in Texas. He's doing much, much better. The doctors still say that his little heart is a little bit not charged the right way yet, but he's tiny. You know, he's a little guy. So we know that his granddaddy, who was a strong Christian in he's actually in Georgia, they are just joy beyond words that this little guy is still with us. And it's because of Beacon Hope.
Well, that you and I were talking the other day about Addison, the little one, a friend of mine, who's her daughter 3 years ago.
Yep.
And
and
my friend called the other day because I asked her about this baby, the symptoms.
Yes.
And so she called me and I said, she said, you know, it's still amazing to me what God did, because she said there it was, just, I mean, very, very bad prognosis for this little girl. And she's perfectly healthy and totally normal. So praise God. God is the healer. And so send your prayer request to prayers at bohmglobal.com and listen to this song by Dara McLean, Wanted. New song, good song.
From the day you were born and took your first breath, you opened your eyes and in came the light. He was watching you. But all of your life you couldn't shake the lies in your head saying your mistake. But you were made.
You're wanted. You are wanted. God wants you. That reminds me of that old Army poster from World War II. Uncle Sam wants you. Would you know, but you are wanted. God wants you.
You know, a side step to that
wanted
poster, Maxine's
great-great-uncle.
Great-great-uncle drew that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, for heaven's sake, how faithful. We got somebody famous among us, Bill. This is crazy. And what was it? Would you say that? Great. What, do we have a changing of the guard? Cedric was here, and now it's you. Oh, okay. All right. Sounds good. Well, you are one of dear friends out there. God's got a plan for your life. You may be walking around thinking nobody cares what I am doing in my life. And, you know, here we are with Paul just absolutely having a revolution in his life, totally changed, and ends up over here in Mesopotamia where he didn't plan on, or Macedonia. where he didn't plan on going. Well, it goes beginning to be M, so go right ahead. But here he is. He's over here. And when he gets there, like you pointed out, PJ, he didn't have a place that he normally would go to the synagogue and go and minister. Yeah. There was no synagogue.
There apparently weren't even
ten
Jewish men there.
Right.
So plan B was, he knew that if there were any Jews, they'd be finding themselves a place to worship, a place to pray. And he found that down by the riverside.
Right.
And that's where he met Lydia.
Right. I love this.
And, you know, I love the fact the Bible is so cool because Lydia was no weak-willed woman.
No, this is Acts 16:16. Easy to remember. 16:16.
Yeah, she says...
Verse 13.
Yeah, and on the Sabbath they found the place of prayer down by the river, began to speak to the women who'd gathered there. Now, okay, Paul... Everybody thinks Paul's got this issue with women. Well, apparently not, because that's what we preach to
here.
Well,
isn't that interesting? All right.
And then one of them was Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. So she was wealthy.
She was a wealthy woman.
Because that purple cloth was pretty expensive.
Right.
She also was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message.
I love that phrase right there. Mm-hmm. God opened her heart. And right. We need to pray that over people when you're out,
you know? God opened their hearts, because we can preach all day long.
Right.
And if their heart isn't open, they're not going to respond. But Lydia did. And she and the members of her household were baptized. She invited us to her home. This is, and I love this about Lydia. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. You know, she wasn't weak. She was strong. She persuaded Paul. You know, and, you know, just for Paul... I think, again, that was a big revolution in his life.
Well, yeah, because divine
first
appointment.
First of all, he couldn't find any men to preach to.
Right.
So he preached to the women.
Isn't that great? And you have that same issue sometimes, right?
Exactly.
You have more women than men to preach to sometimes?
I've been praying about that since I walked into Beacon Hope.
I know you have. So, Lord, bring in more men.
Amen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the funny thing was, I never felt uncomfortable.
Right. Isn't that good?
With that.
And obviously, Paul doesn't feel uncomfortable here.
Right.
He goes down by the riverbed, and what's down there? A bunch of women praying.
So he just preaches to them. Lydia gets saved, and she and her household are baptized. And then she says, look, if you count me as a believer, as a real believer, come and stay at my house.
Right.
She was hungry, and she was thirsty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And she wasn't hungry and thirsty for a liquid poured down her throat, nor manna from heaven.
Right.
Just dripping in her yard, you know, and going out and picking up whatever she could find to eat. The woman was thirsty and hungry for the words of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
She recognized in Paul a true servant.
Yes.
Right.
And she wanted to be a part of it. She wanted to be part of the traveling circuit so that others would come and share their knowledge. And that's what happens even, you know, at Beacon of Hope. You travel around, you go someplace, you do something. I don't think the church is ever far from your heart. Because if you're there, even on vacation or something, somehow the conversations always turn to relationships with Christ.
Right.
And what we should be doing, and how could we be doing it, and what could we do better?
Right.
And how can we as individuals give up more of ourselves to become more like Him?
Well, I agree. That is what we should be talking about. And I find it interesting that Paul, whatever he said to this group of women, he preached Jesus to them. And we can just be talking in conversation and be preaching Jesus. It doesn't have to be a sermon.
That's why PJ works so well. You know, his initials work so well because some people are greatly offended if you approach them.
Right.
Or they approach you to talk about something and you start with scripture or something. They become very offended. And who are you to tell me?
Right.
But in his easy way, and with his initials being, quote, his name, unquote,
right,
he can do that as one of the guys, like I said earlier. And then all of a sudden they begin to realize,
you know,
there's something about him that stands out. And why is he not this kind of a person or that kind of a person?
Well, I agree with that. And I find it interesting because last fall, God began to really speak to my heart about this new day for Beacon of Hope, which we are in it now, this new day. And he gave us this slogan that we put on the website, going outside our walls to reach people where they are, just as they are, with God's love.
That's right.
And that's what it's all about, going outside our walls. And so often churches just wait on people to come to them. But it's got to be go out and talk about, hey, look what God's been doing in my life. He answered my prayer. I mean, I've got that testimony of my granddaughter and the great grandbabies and how God just took that situation that looked so impossible. And here they are now, born, and they're 2 months old, and they're healthy, and they're beautiful. And they have black spiky hair. And
spiky. Wonder where they got the black spiky hair.
I don't know. Actually, they're losing their hair right now. They had more when they were born. You know how that goes. But talk to me about this, PJ, because I think so often we think that all evangelizing or all talking about Jesus has to be done in the confines of a building.
Oh, absolutely. Paul didn't.
By the riverbed.
He would go to the synagogue. He made that his base of operations.
Right.
And we need that. We need the church as our base of operations. But pretty much he'd go into the synagogue and they'd all get saved.
Right.
But then he went out to the riverbanks. He went out on the first missionary journey. He was out preaching in the marketplaces and in Damascus as soon as he got saved. He was out on the streets preaching.
Right.
So we have to go out to the people. We can't, because you're right. I don't care if we advertise, and you know where I'm headed with this. You remember a certain church in Indianapolis, skydivers coming down
circus. That's what skydivers was that Sunday.
You know, we can try and bring in people with, you know, I don't know, circus acts, yeah, whatever. We can try that. You know, we can shoot people out of cannons to try and get people into church. But by and large, they're not going to come to church.
Have a Bible for everybody to use when they come into church.
Well, we do.
We do.
we were buying Bibles, Maxine and I were, for the church.
Right.
Weren't we? We were buying Bibles and bringing them and putting them out. Every church we've gone to, we've done that. We go in and make a deal with the Christian bookstore dealer and say, I know you're going to think this is weird, but this is what we want. We want it in mass. We want all the same kind. And then when people come in, because so many people come in and say, but I don't have a Bible.
There are all those that you donated are right up there.
Right up there in front. Yeah.
And see, that's an excuse. Well, I don't have a Bible, so I can't follow what you're doing.
Ask Pastor how crazy I went when I found the hymnals and the Bibles from Georgia.
Yeah, he was nuts on Labor Day. And he was over there. I said, that's your corner. You arrange it. You do whatever you want to with that corner, PJ, because it's all the books and the Bibles and the hymnals. And he was screaming like a girl over there in that corner going, look at this. And so
I was
excited.
Going through that hymnal. I was just getting...
Everybody that would listen
excited.
To him.
Excited.
And he had to keep
and
moving around because people weren't listening to him.
And
but
finding
anyway.
All those Bibles, that was exciting to me. But
I'll tell
yeah.
you, but you know, one church's failure is another church's witness.
It is.
You know?
Well, and it's so
Praise
it's
God.
So great because what maybe couldn't be used in Georgia can be used in Florida.
That's right.
You know, it's like I was in Chicago, obviously not being used in Chicago because I was supposed to be down here.
That's right.
You know,
but that's following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that goes back to Paul saying, wait a minute, whoops, I had a dream last night, guys. We're going across the sea over to Macedonia. So, you know, pack up, get your gear ready. We're going. And as a result, we have Acts 16 and then chapters after that that show that it was not an easy chore over there in Macedonia. Lydia was probably the easiest part of Acts 16.
Right.
But then that slave girl follows Paul, and she's a fortune teller and into...
She has a python spirit.
Right,
that's
yeah.
literally what it meant. She had yeah. a python.
Fortune telling and all that and witchcraft. And finally, Paul has enough of it. And the Lord reveals to him that he's got to rebuke that. Even though this girl is yelling, oh, listen to these guys. They belong to God. But that was just an attention getting off of the
right,
message.
Right, right. Two things about that. First of all, you got this little demon-possessed girl running around. I'm not sure I want a demon-possessed girl running around telling other people that I'm preaching the gospel.
Right.
You know, it may be true, but imagine, right. you know, she's probably wild-eyed and looking all bizarre, but plus...
disheveled.
Yeah. The literal Greek there, these men are showing you a way of salvation, and Paul just had it with that.
Not the way.
Yeah, we know there is only one way.
Amen.
And that's through Jesus.
Right.
And he himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And she's going around, these men are showing you a way of salvation, and Paul just had it.
Yeah.
And he did what he had to do, and it didn't turn out so well. Actually, it ultimately turned out wonderful, but... in the short term and humanly speaking.
Being thrown into prison for
yeah.
this.
yeah, that.
Yeah, that's kind of a you know, annoying.
People would look at that and think, wow, I don't think I ever want to do this if I'm going to get thrown into prison. But look at the ultimate outcome.
When you do step out for God, you do encounter. I made that point this morning
yes.
at Beacon. You do encounter all kinds of stuff that appear on the surface to be awful. That you have made, because the devil is setting out to tell you, you made the wrong decision. Step out in faith. Nope, this was wrong. You shouldn't have done it. Shouldn't have done it. What's wrong with you? Why did you listen to it? Why did you go do this? Because Paul and Silas are thrown into prison, in
yes.
the dungeon, in stocks that stretch their arms and their legs. And they were in pain. They were in tremendous pain. And I even forgot to mention that this morning. After he was beat, they were beaten very badly.
Right, they were beaten. And
very badly.
And Paul brings it out after their release. That they should have never been beaten because Paul and Silas were both Roman citizens.
Roman citizens, but yet they were.
They were. And, I mean, that was a big mistake because under Roman law, they couldn't be beaten. They couldn't be put in stocks in the dungeon.
But yet they were because the devil's working overtime. Mm-hmm. You have
and
a comment had, on that.
They had to go through that in order to save all those other people.
Woo!
Right.
When the gates of the prison fell open
right.
and then
right.
and the prison keeper, the guard for the day or the month or whatever he was at that point, realized there is no power on earth that can do that by itself.
Right.
You know, God ordained them to be there at that time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For that season, for that time, for that reason. I'm a firm believer in the fact that Jesus Christ ordains us for a day, a time, a reason, and a season.
Sure.
We won't understand it necessarily, but eventually we will see it.
Right.
And with this young girl calling out and crying out that way, isn't that what we do today? We have circuses at church, as you were saying earlier
right.
about the skydivers and so forth. Well, just go along and read their marquees as to what they're going to have next week.
Right.
And is it so hard to pick up the scripture and say, why don't we all do this week? It's a very novel idea, but we're going to open up Bibles and we're going to all read together instead of
right.
going in to see the dog and pony show.
Right. Absolutely.
Dog
Amen.
And pony show isn't going to get me to heaven.
Because people need the Lord, and that is
that's
the
it.
Next song that's up right now, which Dave Kennedy did such a beautiful
yes.
job on this morning. I love this song by Avalon. Here we go. People need the Lord.
To fear.
Praise God. I love that song. People need the Lord. I need the Lord.
Amen.
We need the Lord, and the world is full of people all around us, Carol, that need God and need to have somebody in their life that would be willing to say, you know what, you need the Lord. You need a relationship with God Almighty, because it's going to change your life entirely.
Yes, and it will.
People need the Lord. And we did that song this morning. And I tell you, it has just been all over me for a couple of weeks, PJ, that we have got to encourage our people to get out and get the gospel to people in an ordinary way, like in conversation of, wow, Carol, like you were talking about earlier about praying for people. It's a great way, an open door. Yes, we can pray for you. We have a prayer team. We can do this. We want to do this. Please let us do it. Yes.
I think it's one of our missions at Beacon of Hope.
Yes.
Is that we be known on the street, on the radio, on whatever it takes, internet, YouTube, whatever it takes, that this is a praying church. This is a church that cares about you.
Yeah.
We may never see you. We may never know who you are physically to see you. But we know that you have something that's burdening your heart.
Right.
And this church wants to be the church that says, we can help you.
Amen.
You know, we can help. We don't give S&H green stamps, but we can help you. You know, we can find a way.
We give you an opportunity, though.
Yes, we will do what we have to do to help you find your way to Jesus Christ.
Yes,
Our goal is to let no person go without.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Go ahead with that.
Well, that's just so true. And it doesn't always come. I mean, you know, I never fancied myself a preacher. I'm more of a teacher.
He's more of a teacher, but he's a really good teacher.
But it's easy.
But you preach too. Sometimes you get started and you go, forgive me, I'm going preacher.
I'm preaching.
He goes like that, yeah.
But I think it's important, because I just remember some times when I would get into arguments. And there's a part of me that just loves arguing over any point of doctrine.
Yes, there is. I can tell you a few times, but I'm not going to.
This is back, I think, in between my junior and senior year at Ball State. A certain cult was holding a huge meeting at Ball State. And I was up there. I went back up to visit and got into a knockdown dragout with one of their folks. And I learned at that point, you know, I mean, I love, and the Lord said, maybe you should just stick to writing tracts or something. Because I realized, I could point out all the correct scriptures and all that, but sometimes that's not what they need.
Right.
Sometimes people just need to have a kind word.
Yes.
You know, sometimes people just need to know that you care.
Right.
And that's sometimes going to be enough.
Right.
Where they're going to start to wonder maybe about the inadequacies of their own beliefs, and what does he have, or what does she have that I don't have?
You know, we don't need to go tit for tat for them back and forth and back and forth like you're having a fencing. I think it's very important that if they throw out something that's a little viperous or trying to entice us into some kind of disagreement, we meet them as Jesus would meet them. You know, we say, well, you know, it's nice to be with you today.
Yeah.
Or I'm so glad that you were able to share this time with me. You know, I want to show you some things. Walk with me to this flower bed and let me show you this.
Yeah.
And this is the beauty of Jesus Christ manifested in a blossom so your eyes can see it.
Yeah. Turn it
and
over,
that you are,
turn
and
direction.
In that point of time, you take the outcast and you turn them in to the fact that, do you realize you're as beautiful as this flower is to Jesus Christ?
Right.
That's what he's looking for. He's created you to beautify your area of life.
Right.
And when you do that, you cannot do it in anger. Because at that point, people aren't going to hear you.
No,
and you
not.
Say that to them. You know, people aren't going to hear you if you come up to them that way.
And I guess I must have learned that lesson, because you remember that first, I think it was the first parade down in St. Pete that I went to.
I do remember.
This man came up and was yelling at us, pretty much telling us we were all going to go to hell. And you know, remember Alina was there, and Alina kind of stepped aside and I took over, and I could have responded just as angrily, and praise God I didn't, because I just told him, I said, you know what, What do you want to happen in people's lives? And he said, well, then for them to get saved. And I said, that's exactly what we want.
Right.
Right.
And I was able to find this common ground with this person.
That's right.
And I said, that's all we want. What God does with people once they get saved is God's business.
That's right.
You know, it's his business, not ours. And this guy didn't know. Right. That's exactly how we look like, Maxine. It was,
you disarmed him.
Yeah.
Totally.
He said, oh, okay. Yeah. And he just walked away.
Okay.
It was wonderful.
This is a perfect segue into what happens in the prison. Because the night before they're to be brought out, probably for execution, they are, Paul and Silas, in the prison. Instead of bellyaching and saying, do you hurt? Yeah, I hurt. Man, I wish I had an Advil or any of that. They are sitting there singing, it says in the Message Bible, a robust hymn to God.
Yes.
And I don't think they were doing any kind of barely singing. I don't think they were doing Amazing Grace. I think they were giving it all they had. I mean, I really do.
What did they have to lose?
They were praising God.
You know, at that point, they were probably looking at, well, these people are going to ahead and do this, so why don't we just sing our songs and sing songs of praise and that's what happened.
It always reminds me of that old song, when that chain that seems to bind you serves only to remind you that it drops powerless behind you when you praise him. That's from that song, Praise the Lord. Go ahead.
And it's exactly what happened. And it says, I like it, the prisoners were listening to them.
Yes.
Well, on one level, yeah, what else did the prisoners have to do? But you kind of get the impression that they were listening, really listening to the words. Because we know, too, that singing hymns can be a powerful way to present the gospel. Singing songs can be a powerful way to present the gospel to someone.
Yes.
I know in my own life, I'll hear songs on the radio and they'll touch me. So I know that it's a powerful way to reach people. And here, Paul and Silas are singing, praising God. The prisoners are listening. And then God moves.
But they probably had not heard anything joyous or anybody being kind to them.
What?
And, all of a sudden you've got these two men who are being persecuted to the max, strapped out there like an ant and a person stretched out in an ant bed. And all of a sudden they're singing these praises to this Jesus that these people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to the point that they say, we want some of that.
Right.
Show us. How do we get that? And this is what amazes me about this is that they say, the jailer calls for the lights and so forth, and they said they want to know, how can I find this Jesus? because the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And he says, what do we have to do? And they simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Is that hard? Did it say anything about writing your biggest check in the checkbook? Did it say anything about sacrificing life and limb? And no. It says believe. Sight unseen faith.
And we've talked about that before, how easy it is, and yet people want to complicate it. Different groups, religions, have wanted to complicate it because I guess in our humanness, it just seems too easy. And sometimes accepting God's unconditional love, his agape, his unconditional love, it's hard because maybe some things that have happened in our past. I know I struggled with that for years because I thought I had to earn love. Even though I knew I was saved by grace, I still thought it's like my here, here's salvation. I was saved one day, not saved the next because I did something stupid. I sinned or whatever. And I finally figured out, no, that's
right.
It's unconditional love. God loves me, good, bad, ugly, whatever, and that's an all-encompassing love.
And don't you think Paul understood that? He knew that. Go ahead.
It's because he knows you in your entirety.
Right.
There was a time when all of us sitting in this room right here today didn't know ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We were whoever we thought somebody else. Your parents tell you you're one thing in one way, and then you go to school and you're labeled there, you're labeled SLD or whatever it might be. And at that point, you begin to wear some of those labels. And that's what I used to tell the teachers that I taught with. Don't stick a label on that child.
Right.
They don't know who they are. And you doggone sure don't know who they are. But if you stick a label on them, that's who they become.
Right.
They become that in the world. So, you know, we've got to break away from that labeling of people and places and things and just simply say, I am who God created.
Amen.
I'm proud of me. There was a time I might not have been so proud of me, but when I said, Jesus, I need to know who you are, and I need to know now.
Right.
Then we make that bond with him, and we become who he directs. You know, I've been 1,000 things to 1,000 people, and most of them I didn't even know.
Well, that, when you said all that, it reminds me of, I think it's Romans 8:14, and it says this, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's who we are.
That's right.
And when we are led by the Spirit of God, like Paul was when he said, hey, guys, pack up, come on. We're going over there to Mesopotamia. They go, but wait a minute, we had this other plan. You know, I don't think they even did that because they were on board.
Right.
So now they find themselves in this awful, awful prison situation, getting ready to possibly be killed very shortly. And what do they do? And this is a lesson for all of us, praising God in the midst of the worst circumstances we are ever in, praising God, praising God, praising God, and then you will see a divine shift. That is the way it works. Remember when you were learning to drive a shift stick?
Yep.
Stick shift, shift stick.
Stick shift.
Right.
Stick shift.
Right, yeah.
Be careful how you say those phrases.
I know.
But you know, the Oak Ridge Boys have a song out, and it's an old song, and it's on the authority. On the authority of the Holy Ghost, I rise up and take my stand.
Amen.
I'm a newborn. I can't remember all of it, Sam. You don't want me to sing. But we rise up on his authority.
Right.
And we take our stand.
Yes.
Just like you did in that incident with that individual at the parade.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You stood up, but not angrily. You stood up on his authority.
Right.
You fell back on his authority.
Yeah.
You quoted his authority. Who can deny that?
Exactly. Right.
Who
exactly.
Can, that's why he had to turn and walk away.
Right.
You can't deny it.
And if I tried to do it on my own authority.
Oh, it would falter.
It would have been awful.
Talk about a sword fight. My stars.
So often when we try to fix it, because I've been in a lot of situations in my life, in particular in the ministry, where I'm wanting to fix it. What's the solution? How can I make these two parties come together in agreement? And really, Maxine, you just said it. It's back off and begin to praise God for the answer before we see it, and that's what Paul and Silas did here, and which brings us to this song by Dara McLean, Our Only Hope.
She still keeps the pictures of who she lost. Joy is a memory that she forgot. Life wasn't fair to her. A cold room and all alone, she cries tonight. Her prayers are angry words, their questions why life wasn't fair to her. You're healer to the broken, shepherd to the lost, father to the orphan, adopted by the cross. There's comfort in your arms. It's where our healing starts. Our only hope is Jesus. He's tired of carrying his father's words, telling him he's not enough. He has no worth. He's memorized the lies.
the broken shepherd to the lost.
Jesus. Whoa. They might have been singing something like this. On the authority of the Holy Ghost, I rise up and take my stand because I'm a blood-bought child of the living God. Woo, who is the great I am. It was something like that. I agree. They were really praising God because the Message Bible translates that word right there as robust hymn to God. They were not just barely singing. And God responds, guys, when we declare who we are. And one thing God's been telling me over and over again, and I mentioned it this morning, God says, I am not just a promise maker. Okay, listen, audience. God is saying he's not just a promise maker. He's a promise keeper.
Amen.
And we get hung up on, I don't know where those promises are that you told me, God. And he's going, claim them. Stand there. You're a child of the living God. You're blood bought. Redeemed, and you have a right to say, wait a minute, you made this promise to me, Lord, now, and he says, I'm a promise keeper, not just a promise maker.
Right.
And I don't know who that's for today, but that's for somebody out there. And the other thing I remember saying this morning that's so important, it's something that Graham Cook says, doubt attracts attack. And so often when we get down that road of doubting that God's going to intervene in our circumstances, when we get down that road of worry and fear and discouragement and defeat, we just open the door for more attack. I mean, we've got to rise above it as conquerors, PJ, and say, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer in the house of the Lord. That's who I am, you know? We got to declare these things about ourselves.
Well, yeah, and doubt makes your armor fall off.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, because you know the piece that holds it all together, of course, is the belt of truth.
Right.
And if you start doubting the truth,
ooh,
then your belt falls off, and
all
it
right.
And it pretty much holds everything else.
It holds
in
all the
place.
Other armor in place.
That's right.
So without that, you know, you're in serious trouble, and you know, and we're not talking like momentary doubt. You know, we've all had those little momentary doubts. But, you know, it's when you really start
when you sink
doubting,
into that pit,
when you especially doubting God's goodness,
yep.
that God wants the best for you. And,
right.
you know, you start and, you know, Satan's going to say, well, of course, just like he did with Eve. You know, God said, just don't eat one fruit out of this whole garden. Don't eat one fruit. And the devil turned that around and said, well, did God say, you know, you can't eat from any of the trees? You know, and that's what he likes to put doubt in our heads about
right.
God's goodness.
Right.
Well, of course, that got Eve all upset, and she said, we can't even touch him. Right. Under that one tree, we can't even touch. Well, God never said you couldn't touch it. And, of course, we know what happened. She ate it.
Right.
And gave it to Adam, and he ate, and it's been a mess ever since. But,
yeah. True.
You know, yeah, Satan will use any doubt. You know, and obviously he'll try and put that doubt there, but...
Well, when you have pain in your body, you got to know that Paul and Silas had pain in their bodies. But I have talked to so many people, and Carol, you're one of them, that when you're under the anointing, and me, I could be walking in, barely able to walk, but when the anointing begins to hit my body, I don't feel any pain at all. This tooth, I don't feel any pain at all when you're under the anointing ministering. When you were going through all those cancer treatments, I remember talking to you after those sermons that you would give, and you would say you would not believe the whole time. Go ahead. I'll let you finish the sentence.
I was totally under the anointing of God.
Right.
I felt nothing and pain. It was amazing because I would walk into church, and everybody would see me going in with a walker. I just couldn't do it by myself. I didn't have enough strength in my legs. And I would go in with a walker, deliver that sermon, and walk out absolutely able to do what I stood up there. I mean, I think if you look on that podium, you're going to find my knuckle prints because
okay, we'll
I gripped that thing so tight. But
I don't doubt it.
And there's a thing when you're in cancer, and I'm sure this is with other illnesses as well. There's a place called grace.
Right.
And unless you have walked and talked and lived in grace, it's another world. It truly is another dimension. It took me over a year to come out of that dimension, and I was very disappointed when my grace fell, because I needed it to go through these treatments and things. And in other words,
you weren't feeling the effects that most people would have. Yeah,
nothing.
God was shielding you from all that.
And there's another element there,
right?
I mean, everything was like, oh, it's wonderful. It was like banana pudding. Everything was banana pudding.
I wish we would have had some banana pudding today. That was actually on my mind.
She makes the best.
Okay, I'm calling on you. So, but you know what? It reminds me of Paul and Silas that night. They had to probably start out that night in physical pain. When they clamped those irons down on their feet and their legs and everything, they had to be in pain. And their answer was to begin to praise God. That has got to be, that's what it takes grace to do that. It so does.
It so does, because I never went into what I call the silver ponies at Emory. I'm without ever going in there, I would say
she's talking about the big MRI machines she can't stand.
All those things, and I'm very claustrophobic. I went in there with total grace. I knew that I wasn't there by myself. It was like standing in the fire with Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew that he was there.
Amen.
I knew that he covered me with his grace, his mercy, and his strength.
You know what? God had me read that the other day. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were all thrown into that fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar, in fact, that's the subject of my first book, which is, I forget the title
fiery
of it right
furnace.
Now. Yeah, fire, whatever.
Lessons
from the fiery furnace, okay? But I remember this week, God just kept bringing that story back. And when they were all thrown in, and even the ones throwing them in died from the heat. So you're talking intense heat.
Yeah, it was hot.
This is Daniel 3. You need to go read it again, probably. And when they went in there, then Nebuchadnezzar looks up and goes, oh, my. And it's four people, because Jesus was walking around that fire with them.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, that one will preach all day long. I tell you.
When I was a little girl, I had a child's Bible.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the pictures that I saw was, I still have that Bible, and what is falling apart now, but one of the pictures was that Daniel in the lion's den.
I have that Bible too.
And, you know, and there he is amidst them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, if he can do that in a fiery hot, can't he do it in our lives in any other way?
Right.
Look what he
stands
did.
In everything with us. We're never alone.
Right.
Never
and,
alone.
And I love what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. And they said this to the ruler of the known world at that time. And he said, you know what? We're not going to bow down before your statue, because the God that we serve is able to deliver us. But you know what? Even if he chooses not to, we're still not going to bow down before
him. Right.
I mean, that's faith. That took a lot of faith.
And what'd you get? A divine intervention then.
Right.
What happened is, they
tossed them in, and there's Jesus in the middle of the fire with them. I mean, imagine the impression that had to make on King Nebuchadnezzar.
Right. Woo, this is fantastic. So what we're saying is, when you step out and obey God, whether God tells you something in a dream, whether he gives you a scripture that leads you and directs you, whether he just impresses it upon you, maybe doors open and it all comes together and you go, wow, this is God's plan. Don't think that you're not going to have problems, because you are. If you step out in faith and follow the plan like Paul did here in Acts 16, you're going to open the door to all kinds of crud, but you're going to be an overcomer in the midst of it. It is all about learning faith and stepping out and believing God. Ooh, look at this time.
It's just flying.
It's flying. We're just about out of here, but talk to me. Final word here.
Well, I think the final word should be today that we're never alone. If we profess God as our Lord and Savior, and know that who he is and that we're on his mission that he has sent us on, and we're trying to do it the best way we can, we need to realize that he's always there. We go through trials and we'll go through tribulations, but he's got our back.
Woo.
You know, as they say in sports, I got your back.
Well, yeah.
He's got our back in a big way.
Right.
You know, he looks out for us. We're going to have disappointment and heartache and all of that, but we know how to deal with it. We have the prescription for it. It's called the Holy Scriptures. And we also know that the great physician watches over us.
Amen.
You know, God made our bodies. He knows what we are, who we are, and he knows when we need that little extra of help. And sometimes just mercy. Sometimes when I'm really in whatever the reason, maybe in physical pain, I just say, mercy, Lord, mercy.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
give me mercy.
Just mercy.
And I go to sleep. And where does the pain go when I go to sleep?
Right.
It diminishes.
Right.
It diminishes.
Ooh,
and so that's what God.
God
does. He takes everything in our life that's a trial and tribulation, turns it into a learning experience,
right,
and then walks with us and talks with us and stays with us.
Oh, praise God, Carol. PJ, talk to me. Got just a couple minutes.
Well, a thought just came to me about this whole thing with Paul and Silas in Philippi. Paul could have said before he got beaten that he was a Roman citizen. And yet what he did was submit to God, even though he knew what was going to happen. It wasn't going to turn out very well for him at first. I mean, yeah, he later said, you know, they want me to leave. They beat me against the law. They can come walk me out of town.
Right.
But he didn't do that beforehand. He trusted himself fully to God. And, you know, that's so important that we just continually be submitted to God. And like you said, Pastor Yao, sometimes it's not going to look good, but in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the prison, God's going to be there.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like
yes.
You said, Carol, he's going to be there with us.
Always.
In the darkest place. I mean, he said, you know, Psalm 139, where can I go to escape your spirit? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to Sheol, the place of the dead, you're still there.
Yes.
Right.
It doesn't matter how far away we think we can run. God's still going to be there with us.
He's there, and he wants to make something happen in your life, listening audience. There is somebody out there, and I think there's many somebodies today, who need a touch from Almighty God. You need to know that God loves you. You need to know that he's got a plan for you. And you need to know that as you begin to step out in faith and work that plan that God gives you, your life is going to change. Yeah, you may go through some hard times, but as you go through them, your faith will increase because you're going to reach out and you're going to believe God for the answers. If you are already in a good word-teaching, Bible-believing church, stay there, be faithful, be committed. If you don't have one that you go to, come to Beacon of Hope. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome everyone. We are totally open and affirming. Everyone is welcome. We want you to become and be a part of us. And that is Sunday mornings at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. And don't we have fun teaching the word on Wednesday night,
oh,
PJ?
We do.
And
we
we're this week we're getting a big new whiteboard for the Bible study room.
God.
I'm so excited. I'm just gonna we're just gonna teach all over that board. We just love it.
And the people that take pictures of the board because of the teachers are gonna need to get
widescreens.
Yes.
Yeah, because they teach
new cameras
from their
coming.
Yeah, they take it with their camera phones all the time because as God unravels a teaching, it's just so cool how it just develops up on the board. And that's all by faith. Okay. This ministry is by faith. And, we believe God for every dollar, and we thank God for every dollar that comes in. And here we are in our seventh year on the air. Every radio bill caught up. God is so good, giving us a new place to be. If you want to become a financial partner with us, it is good soil to plant. Don't you think, Carol? It's good soil to plant your money in.
It really is. And, you know, it takes good soil to make something grow.
Amen. So, you know, it's good soil because we teach the word and we're all about the word. Our slogan is where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. Last thought.
Just submit to God. He's there with you no matter what.
Amen.
Rejoice that your best friend is Jesus Christ.
Woo! These are great last thoughts. Those are really good. Maxine, it's been a joy to have you here too. And the first time that Carol and Maxine have been able to be in the studio with us instead of always by phone.
Yes.
And it's a really different experience, isn't
it? Yes, and I'm not a ghost.
Yes, no, you're real. And we hope a lot of our Georgia folks, friends up there will listen to the show maybe at a later time once they know that it's on and that you are right here in the studio. So we welcome you to our services Sunday morning, 10:30. Oh, new location, 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North, basically at the corner of Drew and 19 in Clearwater. Easy to find at the intersection where Best Buy is. Instead of going into Best Buy, go across the street and come around the corner, and there we are. 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North in Clearwater, brand new facility. We've only been there a month. We thank God for that miracle. And, you know, this was a miracle for Paul and Silas in the jail and how those doors, suddenly the earthquake hit, and there we were. If you have prayer requests, we welcome you to use our prayer line 24/7, 365. It is prayers at bohmglobal.com. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. bohmglobal.com. You can contact me personally, pastor at bohmglobal.com, Pastor Jim at bohmglobal.com, webmaster at bohmglobal.com, contact Carol at prayers at bohmglobal.com. Why the BOHM instead of our used to Beacon of Hope Ministries? It is easier and quicker to put in your email, and it also represents this new day in which we are now in, BOHM Global. That's what it's all about.
But they both still work.
They both still work. If you have the old one in your browser, it still works. Very good. So, it's been great having you here. It's not far to Jesus. This Amen. Has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Jim, Carol, Maxine, bringing the Word of God to you this day. Join us again next Sunday, 3 o'clock, live right here in Clearwater, Florida. God bless you. Have a great week.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. 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 From here to Jesus. It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.